and a warm welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, it's two victories in a week as we look back on wins over Aberdeen B and Clyde. We'll also preview Saturday's game against Spartans and pet peeves of modern football. We get your thoughts on what you hate most about the beautiful game. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Toon Podcast. I am Colin Byers with me, as ever, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
I'm very well, thanks, Colin. How are you?
Not too bad. Another week by week. Good thing is, kids are back to school this week, so the joy of joys. Back to kind of normality after what's been a pretty miserable summer weather-wise.
Has it been a long 6 weeks for you? A long pre-season?
It's been a long pre-season, yeah. Got to ask you, before we sort of kick in, Women's World Cup finals on Sunday, did you watch it? Did you enjoy England getting the comeuppance?
Unfortunately, I didn't watch it. I had stuff on yesterday. Depends how you look at it. Some folk are delighted that England have lost. And I did see political tweets over the weekend with Hamza Yousaf and his comments about it as well. I hadn't watched much of the Women's World Cup, to be fair. But by all accounts, gave a very good account of themselves. They did well in the Euros in the summer as well. So, yeah, they were unlucky by all accounts.
I'm quite pleased that Spain won. Just like the whole thing being sort of shoved in your face the whole time constantly. And that's why you kind of sometimes you just kind of go, right, okay, we want the opposition to win. If ever England's playing, we want them to win, kind of thing. But go, please for Spain. And incredibly, it was the first time that they've won a knockout game, because they've never won a knockout game before this year's World Cup. Then they go in and win it as well. So quite an achievement for them. No, I didn't watch it again myself. Deliberately didn't watch it, because if I watched it and England were winning, I would have stopped watching it anyway.
I think a lot of folk are like that. If a certain team's winning, they tend to turn it over. But yeah, they were unlucky by all accounts.
I was actually playing football myself. Okay, that soon might come as a bit of a shock. It was a shock to my system. The Burns football had a barbecue picnic thing for their awards, end of season awards, and it was the parents against the kids. So you can imagine 22 kids on a seven-a-side pitch against about 8 or 9 adults. It went one way.
And what position were you playing?
Well, I started at left back, and then I ended up sort of just floating. And when I say floating, I mean just sort of meandering and trying to find a bit of space.
Was it short sleeves and gloves? Ken, that's one of your favourites.
It was no. No gloves. No, it was quite warm actually. It was quite fine. So it was a good day. Again, one of the coaches is a Brock player, so I maybe shouldn't have praised him too much. But Sean Butcher and the guys in Quines there did a great job. So other Quines got a trophy, so it was good. Quine was quite chuffed with her as well. So they're all looking forward to the new season starting next weekend as well. So that's my kind of Sundays showing up again for next season. So it was good. But I felt it this morning, though. Muscles were a bit tender.
Using muscles that you're not using a wee while, I would suggest.
I think the muscles had thought they retired years ago, but hey ho. Right, so we'll bash on. Start with some news regarding Conor Duffy on Wednesday. The club confirmed it was an ACL injury for the winger. Hugely disappointing for him. Second season in a row, we've suffered an ACL injury for a key player. So that'll rule him out for the season, which is obviously vastly unfortunate for him, particularly coming off the back of last season when he was out for a long spell at Clyde as well, and made 16 appearances. That was due to an operation on his heart. He had a hole in his heart, so obviously it's just one thing after another. But we talk about it was so innocuous, it seemed like a nothing kind of thing, but these things seem to happen, and ACLs, I think, seem to be happening more and more often in modern game.
Yeah, so firstly, as you said, it looks so innocuous doing it. He's 5. It was one of them. he was far away from us at the time, but he went down, but he knew straight away, you could tell him, the way he was waving and needing the physios on. And you knew when he was down for a couple of minutes, you thought, this is not looking good, and then the stretcher on as well, and obviously, subsequently, we now know it's an ACL, so it really got it for him within the season he had last year as well. As you said, ACLs appear to be something that's peeping into the game more and more. I can't remember who it was, but somebody, I think it was actually a Man United player, they'd complained about the amount of games that they're having to play, you know, over the season. Obviously, we've got Euros and we've got the World Cup, and then they're going away for friendlies and everything. Obviously, there's a lot of it due to sponsorship and, you know, their profile within the game that they do these certain things. But I do think there's a lot of games. I do think there's a lot of demands on the players these days. So it's no surprise that there's more and more injuries creeping in. I think you go back 5-6 years ago, you didn't certainly have as much ACLs as what we do nowadays. But yeah, for Connor, it's massively disappointing that he's out for the season.
Yeah, and he was the only one, I think, it's joined in the summer that had to sign a 2-year deal. His was only a 1-year, so you sort of look at that and say, well, he's virtually going to write this one off. And where's his future lie for next season already? Because he must be sort of looking at that. But I'm quite sure the guys at Peterhead will, you know, give him the support he needs, much like they gave Hamish last year.
Yeah, I think you only need to look at Hamish Ritchie and his injury, the way he came back, supported by the club. I get what you're saying, it's only a 1-year contract. The injuries that it had last season, you can be forgiven for thinking in the club that they maybe think, well, you know, after the year's up, that you'd be moved on. But there is also that if you support the player and you see how hard he's working to come back from injury, he maybe just needs that slice of luck and a wee bit of fortune for next season with a good pre-season under his belt. So all is not lost, but unfortunately for this season, I'd be very surprised even if he was back by April, May. I think that's a long way off for him. But, you know, look at Hamish Ritchie, look how well he's done since he's come back, a proper pre-season. So, you know, it'll probably look a wee bit bleak now, but I do think there is light at the end of the tunnel for Connor.
Yeah, and obviously we wish him well and hope to see him back again sooner rather than later. Would you like to play golf with Ryan Strachan and Jordan Brown? Well, you've got the opportunity now for a mere £10 for a ticket. Peter Hader running a raffle. Is it a raffle? Would you call it a raffle? Is it a draw? Sure. So you can play golf with Ryan Strachan and Jordan Brown at Peter Hader Golf Club, as I said, for a mere £10. You will be given a raffle number, and that number corresponds to a time for goals being scored at the next match once all the tickets have been drawn. And you, not only do you get to play golf with them, you also get to win a signed shirt. So it's another good fundraising effort, I guess, but as well as that kind of sort of community side of things, again, making sure that it's not just a case of we're taking your money, we're giving you something in return as well.
Yeah, I mean, for £10, if you're the winning entry, you get a round of golf for the man, you get a signed football shirt. It's a pretty darn good deal, I would suggest. So yeah, really good. I think it's also good of Ryan and Jordan giving up their time to do it. They've also got the Q&A next week, at the time of recording, next Monday. So they're doing a lot of things that they spoke during the summer and the tail end of last season about getting fans united again within the community and getting the support together. And, you know, they're true to their word, they're doing it. And yeah, I think it's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, I don't know how much the fees are at Peterhead, but I'm pretty sure a 4-ball is going to cost more than £10. Because obviously it's for yourself and somebody else that you can bring along with you. So, I mean, £10's pretty... You might have to buy them a dram after the round, like, but, you know, you might get well with that.
Aye, you have to buy them the drink, but if you give them a few drinks beforehand, you maybe win the
round. You might win the
golf.
Aye, exactly. Aye. Just speaking on Jordan as well, there was a bit of I'm going to say confusion, but obviously he was sent off last week. He played on Tuesday against Aberdeen B, and then he played again on Saturday against Clyde. So it was a bit of confusion as to what was happening. There was mumblings on the Tuesday night if it was actually happened. There's a bit more kind of clarification about it now. A clarification of it hasn't really. I don't think it's really been reported by the official, which is a bit bizarre. So hence why he hasn't been officially been given a suspension. I think the club are still making sure that they are not doing anything they shouldn't have been. Anything's going to come back to and bite them in the ass later on. in terms of playing an ineligible player and things like that. But having sent him off so late in the game, comes back to the referee at the previous game against Tenney, having sent him off so late in the game, maybe he's forgotten to put it into his report, or maybe he's deemed it that actually maybe it wasn't worth putting it into the report. If that's the case, why send him off in the first place?
Yeah, I think it's a strange, especially Jordan being classed as a player co-manager. I think if he's just the manager, you can sort of say, well, yeah, he's been given the red card, he's been sent away for the touchline. I think the fact that he comes down as a player as well, like, I certainly think if he had scored a goal on Saturday, there could have been more murmurings over it. As far as I'm led to believe, I think they're waiting on the, you know, as you said, clarity that everything has been done, the report's done, finalised, and they move on to next week. Sometimes things in the SFA can just take a wee bit of time to come round. Obviously, it depends on the time the match report went in, who's looked at it, the time the club's been made aware of it. So I'm sure we'll hear something over the next week or so, but I wouldn't be surprised if he has been told to sit out a game or two. But again, it's one of them. It's, you know, what he said, and some folk are saying it could be a three game ban, for it, which I think would be ridiculous.
But it comes down to this whole player manager thing. Has he been sent off as the manager? Has he been sent off as a player? And I think that's maybe the difficulty in the situation. Because if he was sent off on the pitch, you'd say, well, that's a suspension. He's negative play, but he'll still be allowed in the dugout. But because he wasn't on the pitch, but he was in the dugout at the time, was he sent off as, you know, potentially as a player? Was he sent off as a coach? And maybe if it's just one of those things where he just needs to sit in the stand, but is he still available to play because he's a player?
Yeah, I think that is the grey area, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's what's hurting things up whilst it's looked into. Are you sent off as a player? Are you sent off as a manager? Are you sent off as both? But he was, you know, registered to play against Dennis Muir, although he never came on. You know, all these things, that there's probably technicalities, but I'm sure, you know, the club will be keeping tabs with the SFA just to seek absolute 100% clarity. I think if there was any doubt on Saturday about whether he could or couldn't play, then I think they would have just said, well, he's not going to play. I think they're pretty honest about that sort of thing. So, we'll see if it happens this week.
Ken will be in a case either way. He'll hit that sort of dude. He's quite good with that kind of things, making sure the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, etc.
Fingers crossed we're on top of the administration side of things this week.
Well, yes, aye, because obviously, we'll come on to it on Saturday, there was a bit of an error there. But before that, we've got two wins to talk about. We'll briefly sort of speak about the Aberdeen game on Tuesday night, just under a week ago now. So 5-3 in the end, 7 goals in the second half. Scott Ross, Andy McCarthy, unlikely goal scorers, those two, you would say, and then Jordan Brown banging in to Kieran Shanks as well, getting his goal. So really good second half. First half, I felt, was a bit, I wouldn't say a non-event, but it was obvious that that obviously the Aberdeen players were full time. They looked pretty fit, they looked pretty sharp. We were coming off the back of a tough 0-0 on the Saturday. You know, you can look at those two game things, and it sort of evened itself a wee bit. So much so that Aberdeen it took the lead.
Yeah, I think it became a wee bit of a leveller. I wouldn't say Aberdeen wanted it more, but I just think the first half they looked a wee bit sharper. Obviously, the exploits of the Saturday game as well beforehand maybe took its toll a wee bit. But first half, I thought they wanted it a wee bit more. In the second half, we sort of took control. But yeah, I wasn't surprised to see Aberdeen go in 1-0 at half-time. And I thought they were worthy of it at that time as well.
Bear in mind as well, we had a lot of changes coming out of that game. We wondered if that was going to be the case as well. So we had a lot, like Blessing came back in, David Wilson came in for his first start, Jordan Armstrong it started as well, and then some other sort of, what do you call them, maybe fringe players, McKee got his first start. So there was a lot of changes, and I think maybe it took a minty for those players to get themselves bedded in.
Yeah, like you said, Davey Wilson, come in, Armstrong, McKee, and these guys that are maybe not quite in the first team picture at the moment, you know, they got to showcase their talent. And I think it was, it was a good run out for them as well. Maybe seen them till the second half to get fully up to speed. But yeah, I think we needed to make changes. I think you could play three games within a week with the same, you know, 11, 12, 13 players. So it was good to see the squad was freshened up a wee bit on Tuesday.
Scoring five goals is obviously good, but conceding three as well, in the manner in which we conceded the three, defensively we did look a little bit shaky. You know, last week we praised how well Blessing had done against Steny, and quite rightly. I mean, he played well, but this was another side to his game. I don't know if he it was almost like he was a different person altogether. Looked like a different player, and Derek of this was nervous because he was playing against his old side and he wanted to make an impression, and he was maybe just trying too hard. But he obviously gave away the penalty, and then, you know, it was minutes later, almost did the same thing again, resulting in the corner, and then obviously they got the third from it. So I think it was a good test for him, but I think it would be a good learning curve for him as well.
Invaluably as a keeper, that if you make mistakes, they sort of go punished. You know, that was with the penalty and then the header at the corner as well. Yeah, it wasn't his finest game, and I think he's rightly gotten praise in the first couple of games. But this one, you know, last Tuesday, wasn't quite his night for whatever reason. Maybe it was a wee bit of nerves. Got to remember, he's a young goalkeeper. Changes in the back line as well. You know, Jordan came in, Armstrong and Davey Wilson. Whether that makes a difference, I'm sure it does. You know, 2 year back four has been changed. So, yeah, he was a wee bit shaky, but I'm sure that, you know, the squad, Ryan and Jordan, have sort of, I wouldn't even say taken him aside, but just showed him the good, the bad. And it's just getting that balance of not getting too downbeat when you've made mistakes, but also not getting too excited when you've maybe kept a clean sheet and made good saves. It's getting that balance. As I said, a very young goalkeeper, and I'm sure as the season goes on, he'll improve.
And as the second half went on, we equalised, and then we went behind, and we equalised, and we went behind, and we equalised again. So three times we came from behind to equalise, which from a team that we watched last season probably would have capitulated, even against a B-side. It was good to see, and then we battled on and kept going. And I think the longer the game went on, it was more notable that I think the pressure was building on Aberdeen a little bit, which is weird to say because obviously they were leading at 1.32. But as soon as the third equaliser went in, I think that was it. That was almost game over.
Yeah, I mean, we've spoken, you know, numerous times over Pierre Hay, but this year, you know, a Tuesday night, okay, I can imagine a young Aberdeen team, but you went behind, but there wasn't that feeling of, oh, well, that's it. For his last season, you went behind and you thought, well, I kind of see where things are going to change. Even with some of the so-called fringe players coming in, I still think we looked very good, especially second half. And as you said, three times we went behind, three times we've come back. And I think for a team that conceded so many goals last season, got a few batterings as well, saw a lot of, you know, there is still a few players in that squad that were here last season and suffered, to, you know, with the goals that we conceded. Like I said, I can't say Aberdeen, but I thought it was a really good character to come back three times, as you said, conceding goals and then coming back. I think that was brilliant because it would have been quite easy just to say, right, okay, it's the cup game, leagues were bread and butter, but I think to come back three times is really, really good.
It would be remiss of us, Nate, to mention Jordan's second goal, the fourth goal. We've already sort of earmarked it as a potential goal of the season. What a finish. And he had about two or three prior to that. He was taking long range efforts and he was hitting them for his left foot and his right foot, but this one was just as soon as it left his foot, and it, you know, a lot of folks say this all quite a lot in football, so as soon as he left his foot you can't, it was a goal, but this one, as soon as it left his foot, we were cheering.
Yeah, as you said, he just came. He had a few sighters earlier on that didn't quite work. Even if you go back to the East Fife game, he had a bit of a sighter just outside the box. Remember that shot it went screw with. So, and you rightly called it. As soon as it hit his foot, you knew it was going in. A fantastic strike. I'm just going to mention, watching the highlights back of it, Andy McCarthy's goal as well. The build-up from him. But we've mentioned it a heap of times. A good player, when I just admire his pass, he's played the pass forward and then he's followed up as well. And I think that was brilliant, and he's capped off a really good move, a 1-2, and he's finished off. I think that was brilliant.
I think we're seeing a new side to Andy McCarthy's game this season. He's almost like a box-to-box player now. You know, he would have maybe made that pass, and as you said, maybe we would have just stood and waited. But he's made the pass. He's then made the forward run. He's gotten that. He's made the third man run, and he's gotten in behind, and he's had a decent finish. And I think we'll maybe see more of that for Andy as well, because he seems to be building in his confidence, and you know, he's finding a goal or two now as well.
I think he's got that freedom now to go forward. I think maybe in previous cases he'd been maybe told to sit, be the person to break up the play, win the foul, so to speak. I think Joe McKee being alongside him helped. I think the two of them complemented each other really well. It allowed him that freedom to go forward and be a bit more expressive. I think maybe the choice, you know, the competition and the team we're playing maybe allowed him to do it. And yeah, he was certainly worthy of his goal as well.
Yeah, Joe McKee impressed as well. I think the vast majority of the folk that was there was impressed with Joe making his first start. Really, really, really good footballer. I don't think he gave the ball away once. It was just it looked so good, easy for him as well, just sitting in that midfield, picking up loose balls, spraying the passes, 10 yards, 15 yards, or you know, hitting 30, 40 yard diagonals. He just looks so good and really impressive.
He looks a very intelligent player. You know, he didn't seem to be caught out of position either. Just sort of, wouldn't even say he meandered across midfield, but he just seemed to be in the right place at the right time. Knew when to play it short, as you said, knew when to ping a 30, 40 yard pass. That maybe allowed Andy that freedom to go forward and be a bit more expressive. But I think the two of them, and that game particularly, worked well.
Decent crowd as well. Not sure exactly what the official figure was, but it looked around about 550, maybe 600. So it was a good turnout.
Yeah, it was a good night as well. It was a bonny night of sunshine. So I was pleasantly surprised with the crowd. I didn't think it was going to be as much folk there as what there actually was. And thankfully they were treated to a good game.
Yeah, so as we mentioned last week, we did bump into a former Blue Toon former Blue Toon legend. He is still a Blue Toon legend, I should say, in Martin Babbage, and we managed to catch up with him. So here's what Martin had to say. Right, so Martin, good to see you again. Good game ahead of us, Marine Peter. He could split loyalties for you, maybe?
Probably not, if I'm honest with you. Quite selfishly, I hope, obviously. Wee man does well, so for the matter, as long as he does, then I'll be happy, which I suppose whichever way it goes.
Yeah, he's doing really well. I think he's signed a new contract in the summer. He's made his debut, so how's his progress going?
I think it's going pretty well. I mean, he's only no longer turned 17, so he's still early doors, and I keep telling him he's done nothing yet, but he's doing well for his age. He's doing really well. Hopefully tonight will be the biggest test I think a lot of them have had, because it's young. They've played together a lot. There's not many older boys, well, I say older, they've got to be under 21, but there's not many of them in the group, so it'll be a big test. This will be the toughest, I think, test they've had. They've played a lot of Highland League teams and done well, but this is obviously a step up for that.
Are you expecting a physical game? There's a few big lads in the Aberdeen side, obviously a few big lads in the Peterhead side as well. It'll be a physical game, do you think?
I don't know, Peterhead, I would imagine you'd want to make it quite physical. I mean, I think at the age that these boys are at, you don't really know how to use your body properly, so you can be as big as you like. I just don't know if you necessarily know how to use that. It comes with age and experience. So again, it's part of learning for them, isn't it? So as I say, this will be a great test for them tonight, and you know, ultimately Peterhead might have too much for them, but at the end of the day, they'll learn a whole lot from playing here as a group tonight. So
well, I'll ask your thoughts on Peterhead as a whole. Last season obviously was a really poor one, lost Jim as a manager, a man you know well, and ended up getting relegated. What's your kind of thoughts on how the season went last season, and what you think Ryan and Jordan can provide this season?
Last season was, I think, it's probably been a couple of seasons prior that it'd probably been a bit of a struggle, hadn't it, you know, in terms of relegation, sort of fighting against relegation, and obviously I managed to avoid it, but last year it kind of caught up with the club, so disappointing to go down, but allows, I suppose, a reset. And you know, I see they've made a number of signings in the summer. Too early to tell yet how they'll blend, but you know, they should be fighting at the top end of that table against promoted again. So obviously we're hoping that happens. So we'll get back onto Alfie then. Has he sort of set some targets, or has he been given some targets this season for him in terms of, you know, how many games he's going to play, etc.?
It doesn't tell me very much about what he's going to told him, what have you. But you know, I don't think he set himself. He wants to push on. He actually made his debut last year and made a few appearances. And I think the hardest thing for him is he's still got to recognise he's only just turned 17, and to be asked to play at that level, you know, for any length of time is a big ask. But he's wanting to push himself. He wants to get more and more involved with the first team, recognising that he's going to need to play under 18s as well, get minutes, because with all, you know, with all the will in the world, the reality is he's 17. So he just wants to play and get exposed as much as he can in the first team this year, and obviously get a goal. That would be ideal.
And can you give him advice, or does he take advice for you? Because obviously you've kind of been in that situation yourself, so can you guide him, or do you sort of maybe stay away from that kind of thing?
It's difficult because he's obviously getting advice from, you know, great people at the club, but I obviously offer him an opinion, and point out things that I think he's done well or hasn't done well. Sometimes it's well received. Most of the time, to be fair, is well received. Sometimes maybe not so much. But just got to try and keep him going in the right direction. And generally speaking, he's been pretty receptive to feedback over the years. So, but it's difficult now because you've kind of handed over, for the last couple of years, you've kind of handed over that responsibility, because it doesn't really matter what you say now as a parent, you know.
Yeah, I guess the setup there is a lot different now than it was, say, 15, 20 years ago with the, you know, Cormac Park being there, the training facilities they've got there as well.
Yep, definitely. Facilities are brilliant. Coaching, you know, right the way through has been so good. You know, it's a pressured environment for all the kids. You know, it's an elitist, you know, it is elitist, and if you've got to go into it with your eyes open, and if you do that, you know, you'll learn and become a much better player, and a lot of the kids obviously have done. The change in manager last year worked wonders for the club. I mean, I think you can tell just by looking at them, you know, they're a really, really fit and aggressive team now, which is great. It's good to watch. And I'm sure it'll just get better and better. So the fact he's involved in that, I just enjoy my weekends going to watch him, and alternating between, you know, Alfie one week and Sam the next. So it's
the joys of being a dad, isn't it?
Exactly. That's my weekends. One week it's Sam, one week it's Alfie, and yeah, enjoy it.
So, like, appreciate your time. Hopefully it's a good game for us to watch, and appreciate catching up again.
No, good to see you.
So thanks again to Martin Babbage for taking the time to speak to us, even though he did come off the golf course a little earlier to catch the game. Really good of him to chat to us, but we get the impression, obviously spoken to him, you know, after we finished recording as well, that he still has this ambitions to still be involved in football. I know he's quite heavily involved with watching Alfie at the minute. But he sort of mentioned that he would still like to be involved, you know, either in the coaching side of things or scouting kind of side of things. But I think he's obviously, the way he was speaking, he's still got that enthusiasm.
Oh, absolutely. He's certainly got the enthusiasm for it. You've seen that when he spoke to us at half-time within the game. He's pointing out the good and maybe the not-so-good that he'd seen in the first half. I certainly think he's got an eye for it as well. I think when you mentioned some of the Aberdeen players and they were, you know, the way they've been playing and the expectations that Aberdeen's got for him, I certainly think he can pick out a player. And I think if you've got somebody with Martin's knowledge, you like to think somebody would be tapping into, like, so I think he's a very good man to hear out.
It was an interesting point, actually, when he was speaking to us about the Aberdeen players and some of the squad. It would have been easy for him to say, oh, these are our great players, that are going to make it. But he was quite, I think he was quite honest in their appraisals, and how many will actually make it into the first team, which was a bit, which I was quite surprised by the number he said.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that they're at this level playing development, but obviously some will make the cut, some winner. And this is no disrespect to any Aberdeen player that's there, but not everybody that comes through the ranks will make it to the first team. Obviously, he said that Aberdeen were looking over a couple of players that played in that game with, you know, earmarking potentially at some point you know, towards the end of the season, getting them within the first team. And he was very honest with his assessment. And it, from we watched the first half, okay, it's only based on 45 minutes of football that we've seen of the Aberdeen lads, but some of them you think, yeah, they've got a bit of talent. Some of them think maybe just need a wee bit of work. But you've got to remember their age as well, you know, 16, 17, 18, a lot of time to develop. But yeah, he was very honest with his assessment.
So we're through to the next round, through to the third round, and we've been drawn away to Annan Athletic. would you believe the week after we're doing it to Stranraer? We've got Stranraer away from home in the second, and then we'll travel back doing again the following week to play Annan. So obviously it's a couple of long drives. Annan, obviously, I think they've started particularly well, having got in promotion, but might be a game by the time that comes round that we might fancy.
Yeah, I think maybe the timing, like you said, two games, it's a long journey. It's one of them, you can look at the draw and think we've been lucky in terms of who we're playing, or you could look at it and go, we're unlucky, it's away from home, the length of the travelling time to and from it. I certainly think it could have been a lot worse. You could have been going over to Wales or Ireland or something that some of the teams have got. I think it's stupid that they're in the competition to start with. That's a different podcast altogether. But, yeah, I think if you're looking at it, depending on how the season's going by then, a couple of league games in between, it's maybe one of them. Again, the fringe players might come in to stake a claim for their place.
So, on to Saturday's game. As I said, our second win of the week. First time that's happened for probably a wee while as well. Back-to-back victories away from home for the first time in God knows how long as well. So, I think April 19 was the last time we had back-to-back victories. Obviously, East Fife, first game of the season, and then away from home again to Aberdeen, and then Clyde in the league as well, so you could argue it's three in a row. But as we mentioned earlier on, in the Aberdeen game, there were a lot of changes. The changes were ringing again on Saturday. There were five changes. McKenzie, Goldie, Ryan Strachan, Kamen, Hamish Ritchie and O'Keefe all started. Oluyemi, Armstrong, Jordan dropped to, and McKee as well, which is a bit surprising to some, and David Wilson dropped to the bench as well. So, you know, I think we're starting to get a feel of where Ryan and Jordan feel as though their strongest 11 is.
Yeah, I think so. When I did see the team coming through, I think Joe coming out and Jordan, especially, I think after scoring two goals, I thought it'd be a shoo-in to start the game. But, you know, I think it's good that they're willing to mix things up, even if they felt they've played well and gotten contributions that they're just got to play themselves because they can. I do like this balance of one appears to be in the dugout and whilst Etherington's playing or Bethany playing, whatever it may be. I think that's good. I think the changes were probably about right. Apart from Joe and Jordan, I was surprised that they came out. But, I think certainly Stuart McKenzie coming in for a blessing was definitely one that a few folk had probably earmarked as being the right move.
As good as Joe was, obviously, I think he came off about 70, 75 minutes against Aberdeen. So it was maybe just a fitness thing for him. You know, we need to maybe ease him back in again. But as well as we were, as good as the game was doing it against Aberdeen, 5 minutes into the game against Clyde, we're 1-0 doing it. That's obviously nay the start we were really wanting, because we're sort of hyping this game up, thinking that we were going to go doing it. I wouldn't say batter them, but I think it was an opportunity to go doing it and play well and really, you know, get a good 2 or 3-0 victory. So it started off pretty badly, and we talked about the goals against Aberdeen. You know, it was for coming through our own downfall. This one as well, you know, we're switching off at a drop ball, and then we don't know, 2 or 3 passes, it's in the back of the net, and it's early on as well, you know, and we've switched off.
I think when I seen the score coming through, we're 1-0 doing after, was it 5-6 minutes? I thought it literally is the worst possible start, because Clyde had lost to University of Stirling 3-1 on the Wednesday, so we had that extra 24 hours recovery. Clyde had also gotten beat. Again, there was changes in-house within Clyde, and you just felt that, you know, if Clyde got off to a good start, it was maybe fit they were needing. What I would say is if there is a time to go behind, it is fine and early. You've got time to react and change things. But yeah, it's just that concentration. We've spoken about it so many times over the last couple of years, but it's crucial. You know, when you can see, when you score a goal at the start of the game, as the game's approaching the end, there's certain key areas that you need to be more switched on, and I think that was one of them.
Yeah, and you know, there's the sort of first 15 minutes of the game, and you know, it was virtually all Clyde. You know, although we did have one or two efforts, but you were worried that it was going to be 2-0 before, you know, we got back into the game, and it was concerning. But within that sort of 20-minute spell, O'Keefe, you know, he's becoming a key player for us already this season. Comes up with his fourth goal of the season. And Ward, Robert Ward, getting his first assist for the season as well, which is pleasing, because I think he's played well without getting any sort of rewards.
Agreed. I think Robert's been really good. I think he maybe hasn't got the credit that he maybe deserves. I think we're obviously O'Keefe playing really well, and obviously with Jordan's goals on the Tuesday night, and I think he's maybe gone under the radar slightly by folk outside the club. I'm sure within inside the club he's been well recognised for it. But yeah, I thought he was probably one of our better players on Saturday, Robert. But the timing as well, the goal, obviously you said there's more chance it was going 2-0 down. I think, again, I mentioned about the Aberdeen game, that will to they concede and try and get into the game. I think last season would have crumbled under the pressure of it. This season it looks different. Again, we're very early on the season, we're not even out of August yet. But the early signs are there that there is more of a will to win. I'm not saying it wasn't there last season, but I just think that grit and determination is maybe more apparent.
Aye, there seems to be a bit more a fighting spirit about them, which obviously was really lacking for last season. And you know, we're creating chances. I mean, the first goal, Wally's cross, and we're getting crosses into the box as well, which is, it seems so basic. We were starved of it last season. You know, when you've got O'Keefe in there, Shanks will be in there as well. You're bound to score goals.
Folk that watch Peterhead this season, that watched us regularly last season, will came why we're, you know, delighted that we're putting in crosses in the box, because last season it was a really tough watch. And simple things like putting a cross into the box. We did it against Aberdeen. Shanks got a header from it. There was a few occasions of ball in the cross for Scott Ross's goal against Aberdeen as well. So it sounds so simple, that putting the ball in the box and you've got a half a chance of getting a goal or getting a straight second ball. So these things are little things, but they make a big difference in the game. Makes your either the opposition defenders think about whether they're going to be further up positionally, further knocking the ball out to. And these are things that can be the difference between winning a game and nay.
And Hamish Ritchie hit the bar as well, so at this kind of stage of the game, we were starting to get on top, start to dominate a little bit. And then right on half time, Kieran Shanks gets his third goal of the season, and this time it was Conor O'Keefe who got the cross. Again, you know, turning a really good player for us. And it was probably the ideal time to score as well, just right on the break where, you know, maybe Clyde were thinking we're going to go into this level instead of being behind.
A little bit like Robert Ward, I was delighted that Kieran managed to get another goal this time in the league. I think he's done a lot. We mentioned it on Tuesday night before Kieran had got his goal. We thought we'd start the season with maybe not so much goals. Kieran got a few in pre-season, but since the competitive fit by start, maybe lacking in goals. So pleased that he got in Tuesday night again. Pleased that he got in against Clyde. The timing of it was crucial as well. And you're now starting to see that, you know, Ward with an assist, Conor O'Keefe a goal, Conor with an assist, Shanks with a goal. That goal and assist combination by different players, we're not just relying on one player to create and one player to score. So it's fine that we've got the different combinations, and I think that'll bode well as the season goes on.
Second half, Clyde, for me, were really poor. No shots on goal at all, second half. They had three shots on goal, three on target for the whole game. So they scored one. They were all the first half, so really poor for them. And it probably aside, it's going to struggle for, you know, the remainder of the season. I know that they've got rid of Jim Duffy, this, you know, director of football role, which I don't think was ever going to work. But you know, obviously the pressure's starting on them already. And for us, we had efforts in goal as well. Ward with one, Jack Brown with one as well. It felt comfortable without. Yeah, well, didn't they feel the need to get that third goal if you sort of give up, meaning?
I think Jordan sort of mentioned that in his post-match interview on Saturday, that we were 2-1 up, but we didn't really feel that, you know, much in danger. Obviously, you can, things can change very quickly, but the way the game was going, the way it's progressing, you always felt that once we took the lead and that we were good for it, that we'd be able to see it through. And I think that, again, just builds on the confidence of these five-game Stenny at home, which now looking back and it looks a good point. I think we mentioned it last week, you'll only really find out whether it was a good point if you can beat Clyde, or depends on what the score is. So, you know, you've played three league games, you're sitting top of the table, it couldn't really have gone much better for us.
The only sour note from the game was the double sending off. Sula of Clyde got sent off for a second yellow, probably rightly so. You know, persistent fouling, I guess would be would be the phrase. But Kieran Shanks himself got sent off as well, and for dissent or violent conduct, it may go down for as well, for reacting to Sula's challenge on him and kicking out, and got himself a straight red.
Frustrating. I think. Easy to say do, but in the heat of the battle, you know, things can cloud your judgment. You're hoping the referee protects your players. You know, Sula was sent off. It's a learning experience for Kieran as well. He will find that, you know, defenders will try and wind him up throughout the game. We mentioned it a few weeks ago that Kieran's very good at leading the line. He'll work defenders, he'll move them about. And defenders at this level, when I like it, they will try and wind him up, ruffle him up a wee bit. And he just needs to channel that with inside him. I can't, it's easier said than done, but if you're able to score a goal, that's a perfect way to shut the defenders up. And it's now unfortunate that we're going to miss him for, you know, potentially two or three games.
Yeah, and the irony of it is we did have, or certainly in the graphics for the team sheets, Aaron Reid was on the bench, and normally, before that stage of the game, Aaron would have come on probably with about 15 minutes to go, just to get a bit of fresh legs up top and take Kieran off, protect him a little bit. But he wasn't on the official team sheet. We know we said about clerical errors or administrative errors and things like that. He wasn't on the team sheet, so therefore couldn't come on. And that's that error. I know Kieran has to take responsibility for his own actions, but that error, not having Aaron Reid on the official team sheet, is probably going to cost Kieran, as you said, two or three games.
Yeah, I get it was an administrative error. I'd like you said, I think Kieran, he will probably look back at it now and think it was daft. What he's done, we will probably lose him for two or three games. And I'm sure he takes responsibilities for his actions. He's a big enough man to admit that. As frustrating as it is, it'll cost him two or three games, and that's a punishment. And it's, I think we've now got the squad that if Aaron comes in and does well over the next two or three games, Kieran might come back and have to sit on the bench, and that again would be a double whammy for him. That, like I said, defenders are going to ruffle him up. He's going to come across that again a lot throughout the season. But hopefully you'd like to think next time he'll act differently, or you hand that option of Aaron on the bench. Like you said, you could have taken him off with 15, 20 minutes ago, and that maybe, you know, leaves the situation. But again, Kieran will take responsibility for his own actions.
I think as well, you talk about learning curve, but I think maybe Ryan and Jordan could maybe look at that and say, well, okay, we didn't have Aaron's now available. What we can do is we could maybe take Shanks off and put somebody else on, and then put O'Keefe up front for the last 10 minutes or so. I mean, just as well as we're doing, you know, we've played particularly well. I think for a lot of folk this season, it's going to be a learning curve, and that's going to go. It's going to be a learning exercise for the managers as well.
Oh, absolutely. I think they're going to be learning game by game, as we are as fans watching. The players play on the management duo as well. You know, they're trying to get that balance of whether they're playing, whether they're not. It's a learning experience for everyone. I think Kieran will be disappointed. I'm sure Ryan and Jordan will be disappointed that he's gotten sent off as well. But again, you go back to, you're wanting the referees to help you out. Sula's been sent off. Kieran Carner react, and I'm sure he'll learn from it as well. He'll be hoping he doesn't hit it again, and you know he'll have time to think over the next couple of weeks. He's got to miss a few games, and that one silly moment of madness will cost him potentially 3 weeks.
And as we said, we're unbeaten in three in the league. Excuse me, unbeaten in league three, 7 points out of possible nine, 2 points ahead already. You know, it's really early stages, but I think you know with the when the fixtures were put out, it was always going to be a tough start, and I think this is you know as good as a start as we probably could have hoped for.
Yeah, other than a win against Steny, it's a perfect start. I think, yeah, we mentioned it on the way down to the East 5 game. You know, if you can come away with a couple of wins in your opening 5 games, it's a solid start. Again, it's only August, and I'll go back to it. But a lot of people outside the club aren't tipping us even to be in the playoffs. I think we've shown different sides to our game. We've gone down to a team that are one of the favourites in East Fife and dispatched 3 goals against them. We've gone 1-0 down to Clyde and come back to win the game, showing really good character. So there's different sides to the team that we're seeing now that we maybe didn't have last season. And it's just about keeping that momentum going, confidence. We've mentioned it numerous times over the previous years that confidence is a massive thing in football. And now that we're starting to win games and the guys have got that feeling for it, I think we're looking good. And we touched on it last week that there's players that are on the fringes. I mean, you look at Kieran when he eventually comes back from his suspension, depending on how the team's playing, does he get back in? You've got Danny Strachan that's been out for a couple of weeks. Does he come straight back into the squad? And you've got Caleb Goldie playing well. David Wilson was coming in for an appearance. Ryan off the bench. So, yeah, I think things are generally good around the club at the moment.
It was good to see Clyde fans after the game taking the defeat well, full of admiration and praise for Peterhead and Peterhead players. Andy McCarthy in particular taking some of the flack from the bully wee supporters.
Yeah, seen the image online. I don't think they're really moaning about it. It's a foul, isn't it? He's made contact, regardless how minimal you think the contact's there. Andy hasn't got the whistle and blown it to give himself a free kick. The referee's done it. But again, you could say, well, the Clyde player shouldn't be making that sort of challenge. And I say that in the loosest term of a challenge. But if you make contact, the player's entitled to, dare I say, go down. It's in a nothing area, but I did like Andy's wee thumbs up at the end. I think I'm probably wound everybody up more than what he actually realised.
I think we've got into we know Andy's game pretty well, and I think there's a few times that I don't know if opposition players are I think they're targeting him as such, but he certainly seems to be one of the most fouled players in the team, along with Shanks.
Yeah, he gets his body in the way of the ball and the player. And once you feel contact, you know, I think it's your prerogative. You can, I wouldn't say dive, I think that's the right term, but you can make it known to the referee that there has been a slight bit of contact. Like I said, Andy hasn't got the whistle on his moves. It's not him that's gave the free kick. It's the referee it is. But, you know, it's players that play against Andy, I'm sure they'll be more smarter and think, well, you know, didn't I make contact with him? Because sometimes he's only going one way. It's backwards. Delighted that the Clyde fans have gotten annoyed over it.
Ryan Strachan made his 400th appearance in all competitions in his career, so congratulations to him. 400 appearances in all competitions, 333 in the league. 320 of those 400 appearances have been for Peterhead. And we should stress as well, this is obviously as a senior football officer. He had a time at Cove in the Highland League, so we're not taking that into account. So this is just senior appearances. 320 he's at the moment. As I said, he's only 28 behind Rory McAllister at top of that list there, and you know there's a potential he could be topping that list by the end of this season.
Potentially, what was it, 28 games still to go?
It'll
be close. I think it'll be a close run thing. Whether he gets that, I'm not quite sure. We've obviously came that Ryan suffered a wee bit of injuries of late as well, but it'll be a close run thing, I would imagine.
he's picking himself every week. You know he's going to chase that. He's going to chase that. As he gets
closer to the milestone, and the Mary's aware of it, I wouldn't be surprised to see him coming on for the last couple of minutes as a cameo appearance, just to get them appearances up.
Just one of those substitutions where they've got 30 seconds to go, and that's him coming on.
Yeah.
Right. So we're going to move on. We've asked you about your takes on modern football, and specifically. The reason for this one was because speaking about this at work, and some of the guys were saying football these days isn't the same because of various things, and I just wanted to get your guys' ideas of what you kind of hate about modern football. Martin, I think you kind of ken a lot of things that I didn't particularly like about modern football. You're the same. Any one thing that you could say that you absolutely hate about sort of modern football these days?
Well, there's two. One of those maybe not quite as modern, but one of my pet hates is you'll make a substitution and he's on the far side and he slowly takes a walk off, and then he takes one shin guard out, and then he takes off the other shin guard a couple of strides for it, then he undoes the laces. The referee goes over, speed up. He does a light trot, and I'm speaking about two trots, and then he goes back to walking. But then this ties in my next scene. I think substitutions, referees adding on time. I guess it's now becoming more common that there's a lot of added time at the end, but you could have four goals, six substitutions, and the referee's indicated by a minimum of 2 minutes added time. You're thinking, well, 2 minutes just covers the goal celebrations. And I guess it's a minimum of two, but 99% of the time I'd argue and say, well, the referee's only going to add two. So it's just, they sort of combine both into my comments. But yeah, that's probably my hate at the moment.
Oh, I'm still there for short sleeves and gloves. I mean, that's my biggest pet peeve. I see it all the time. I was even like in the World Cup, UEFA's World Cup, where the Australian player, one of the Australian players, I think she was the only one in the whole tournament was wearing gloves. She was wearing short sleeves and gloves in Australia, and you think to yourself, yeah, that's just there like at all. And sometimes as well, in fact, I'll say about kids when they're watching football, is they will sort of replicate fit the see on the TV, and you know, if we are sort of making our way to Balmoor for a game on Saturday, they've obviously got the coach, and there's games going on or whatever, and you'll see one or two of them short sleeves and gloves on. You think, you that's near right. That should be kicked into touch straight away, because are you hot or are you cold? You can't be both.
I think it goes maybe slightly under the radar that how much watching football on TV or watching, you know, you go into a game at Balmoor or whatever in the country you watch your football, how much of a role model you are for kids growing up. And, you know, and you see things, as you said, it's something slightly trivial, as in short sleeves and the gloves. But, you know, it has bigger ramifications as you go up the ages. So, yeah, I think it's crucial, the role model that footballers have in society.
So here's some of yours. We'll go through some of them. James Morgan said his pet peeve is players stealing yards at free kicks and throw-ins. Throw-ins is
it? Goalkeepers, when they've got a free kick and they roll at about 30 yards, referee tells them to get back and they take it back one, and then they're allowed to play on.
I see that quite a bit. Neil Thompson says the same thing as well. Every throw-in at least 10 yards is stolen. When it happens, it should be awarded to the other side, and it would seem to stop them. But I think that is, I think
that
they are allowed a certain length, but you do see it quite often. It's never where the throw-in's been supposed to have been.
We used to see it going back pre-COVID. You used to get some officials that if you took too far in an advantage, the referee would blow and give the free kick the opposite way. I'm pretty sure that is the official rule, but how often it's implemented, I would say very few and far between.
Jason Argo, European competitions, it's lost the magic for me now that each league has like 5+ teams making Europe. Teams that have never won a national competition and finishing fourth are playing in the Champions League, and a team that fails to make it in the Champions League then drop into the Europa League, and then if they knock out the Europa League, they're dropped into the Conference League. It's ridiculous. That is basically the big side teams making money off, again, you know, just looking after themselves, and that's where this European Super League thing kind of kicked in as well. what was I going to say? Aaron on Twitter says he's just disappointed how soft the game is now. You go down, they get a foul, players dive constantly and get away with it. Referees are conned every single time. David Storm would say the same thing, conning the ref when they've hardly been touched, they trip over like a feather. Somebody else had said the same thing. Graham McLean, players falling on the ball when they've been fouled. Andy McCarthy, guilty of this regularly. If referees agree, it gives possession the other way. I think majority of the time McCarthy is fouled because I think he's smart enough to use his body to get in between the ball and the opposition player. But yeah, there's a lot of diving, if you like. And I think one of them was it the Stenny game. A player went down, sort of clutching his heel, the referee obviously stopped the game, and then as soon as the game stopped, he was up. Before the physio was even on. So it's a lot of things like that. Yeah, it is frustrating.
And I do think that any player that feigns a head injury should get some sort of ramification, because we're all fully aware nowadays in the modern game about how suspect you are to a head injury, how damaging it can be. We've seen it many years ago with Peter Cech, and there's been many other instances in between then that if you feign a head injury to get the game stopped, to then discover, it was actually my knee that was sore. I generally do think there should be ramifications, whether it's after the game and it's looked at, it's in the referee's report, and then you get a one-game ban or a two-game ban, because there's nothing to stop you always feigning a head injury to get the game stopped. And I do think that is something that we need to look at, depending on how common it was.
Michael Wilson and Sylvia Duncan both say VAR is ruining the game. Fortunately, we didn't hear that in League 2 in Scotland at the moment. but I think we've mentioned this before in terms of VAR. It's maybe not just the technology as such that's ruining it, but I think it's the length of time sometimes it takes for the officials to make a decision or how long they're looking at it. And it's the officials that are coming up with some of the most bizarre ones. I mean, if you just need to look at the Man United game the other week, Onana coming out, absolutely taking out the, was it Wolves they were playing? Taking out the Wolves players. It wasn't given as a penalty. He went to VAR and VAR said, no, there was nothing wrong with it. You could see it was a penalty. You didn't even need VAR to suggest it.
I think VAR was brought in to near re-referee the game, but it was maybe for clear and obvious decisions. And I think you should be allowed to view it maybe four or five times in a replay. You've got a maximum of 90 seconds to decide. And if you cannot decide on that occasion, then it's obviously not clear and obvious. I think that's what folk think, that they'll look at can an offside, either offside or you're not. Yeah, I get that. There are certain subjective decisions throughout the game, but remember, it's for clear and obvious errors. And sometimes I think that's where we get a wee bit caught up in.
So thank you for everybody at comments. As I said, we'll get through some of the most of them. So we're on to Saturday's game. We play Spartans again this time in the league. We've played them previously in the League Cup, which obviously was just a bona fide or a glorified, I should say, pre-season game. 5 points out of their first three games, doing relatively well for their first season. I think they're sort of still riding on that wave of good fortune, but the hype of winning the promotion in the summer. So a draw against Clyde and Dumbarton, a win against Elgin on Saturday. So as I said, doing well. So we shouldn't underestimate them this time round again.
No, you just need to look back to the cup game that we had. They came up, played really well. Two really good goals in the game as well. Obviously, we had a wee bit of rotation in that game with Ryan and Jordan changed things up for it. I think it'll be a strong team that you on Saturday, and I think they'll have that a bit more grit for them. I think obviously losing the game that they'll want to put things right. But also, I think Jordan mentioned it either after the Stenny game or on Saturday that you want to make Balmour a very difficult place to come to. You've won two away games, or three if you include the Aberdeen game in the cup. You want to then get a win at home at Balmour and then start making it a bit of a fortress and places that teams then I want to come up to.
Yeah, I think it probably will be a different game to that one in the League Cup. As you said, there was a lot of changes in that game. I think probably a lot of changes for both sides. So I think we'll probably see a completely different game This time round, obviously, we will, it looks like we'll have Shanks suspended. That then throws up different connotations as to who's going to be playing. Aaron Reed obviously would be the favourite to start, and would he play the full 90 minutes is the other question. The other option, I guess, as well, you could probably play Conor O'Keefe up there for the majority of the game and then bring on Aaron Reed. So there'll be decisions to make for Ryan and Jordan, but I think other than that, as we said earlier on, we've almost maybe got a set 11.
I don't envisage too many changes. I think depending on how they are after training on Thursday, checking any niggling knocks or anything, I think obviously Kieran will be suspended, so I would think Aaron Reed would come in, and you do have the option of changing it up maybe after an hour mark, Ward or O'Keefe. And again, you've got Jordan Brown, Hamish Ritchie, Jack Brown. All these guys can sort of link. I don't think Aaron will just be the focal point up top, very big lad, but I don't think he's just got to be... I think he will be slightly different to Kieran. I think Aaron won't move the defence as much. So again, that'll maybe allow Connor and Robert and the wings to work their magic, but I wouldn't suspect too many changes.
It might give the opportunity for us to see Joe McKee start again. If we go with Connor O'Keefe up front instead, maybe pushing on Jack Brown a little bit further forward and McKee in beside McCarthy again instead.
Yeah, I guess we'll also be waiting to find out if Jordan's going to be suspended. That could maybe change their plans as well. If things have come through and he does get a suspension, you could be without Kieran and Jordan. So I think it might just be enforced changes with maybe a couple of injuries as well, depending on how things are. But like I said, I wouldn't be expecting a vast amount of changes just for shaking things up.
And, it depends as well if Donny Starkin's available as well. His name might come into it. I know he's missed the last two games. He was 50-50 for sure. Obviously, he didn't make it. But he could be another option, if he wants to rotate the back four. But I think the back four seems to be quite strong at the minute.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're now getting a bit of a solid foundation. Again, clean sheets are massive for us because obviously we've hardly got any last season. So you need to build on that. And I think the only way you're going to get is that continuity at the back and a really good foundation to build on.
And as good as two away victories has been, it'd be nice to get that first home win in the league this season as well.
Yeah, like I said, I think you want to make Balmoor a bit of a fortress. Whilst the two wins away from him have been really welcomed, you do not want to draw the game or lose it, and then you go, well, you've actually not won a home game either. You want to try and build a bit of momentum at home. Like I said, do not make teams want to enjoy their day coming to Balmoor. You want to make it really difficult for them, and hopefully we can do that by getting 3 points on Saturday.
It's a really good opportunity to finish the month unbeaten as well, which would be a really good marker for how far we've come in a short space of time.
Oh, absolutely. It'd be a vast improvement on last season. I think it's completely night and day. If we can end the month unbeaten, I don't think there'd be many people outside the club that would have tipped Peter Heed to do that at the start of the season.
Yeah, and just looking forward to, just a goal maybe would be nice after the last home game as well.
Yeah, and they for the want of trying. Obviously, Hamish hit the bar and O'Keefe for a chance as well, but I think that if we keep knocking, things will happen for us. I'm pretty confident going into the game on Saturday. Not complacent, but confident.
Okay, joining me now on the Blue Tone podcast to get his views and take on Saturday's game is Spartans fan Kenny Cameron. Kenny, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How's yourself?
Not too bad. We're both enjoying WorfIPA at this stage of the season. I know it's very, very early stages, but things are going pretty well at this early stage for Spartans.
I think obviously to the sort of success of last season and how difficult it is obviously to get that promotion in place. You're beating all these teams to first spot, and then you've got the playoff. And there, from a Spartans point of view, like great memories, obviously up at Brechin and winning on penalties there, and then beating Albion Rovers, and then so actually getting into the league. So there's a real feel-good factor about Spartans just now, which is brilliant. And then a real excitement over the summer, doing really well with season ticket sales. I think there was over 300, which is probably a record for Spartans, I would imagine. And then we had quite an exciting, obviously, League Cup campaign, obviously in the same group. A win against Dundee United was obviously fantastic. And it was one of them ones where the Dundee United one, it was deserved. It wasn't one of them ones that you're going and you're hanging on the whole game. In the first 15 or 20 minutes, we could have been 3-0 up. We've had two or three good chances, so it wasn't a fluke, but we've done really well in that game. And then you're going into the last game with a chance of topping the group. And I know, obviously, Dougie and the players would have used that as an extended pre-season, really. Mm-hmm. But you're actually going into the last game against Partick, and you're a minute away from getting a draw. It wouldn't have took us through the draw, but when you're going into these games against that sort of calibre of team, and you're competing really well. So that's been... The excitement's carried over into the League Cup and into the start of the league, so it's really exciting things.
What's it like being in and around the club since obviously getting promotion? Has it been a case that you just really kind of wait to get the season started again?
I mean, like I say, probably the players and the management probably used the League Cup as an extended pre-season, but from a fan's point of view, when you're playing against teams that you're not used to playing against, there's big crowds. And that's just carried on for the playoff games and big crowds, so we couldn't really wait the supporters just to get back to it, because it's like any team. If you seem to be doing well, you can't wait for the next game. You know what I mean? It's been a wee bit like that you just can't wait for the next one. It's been good because we've had obviously good games with the League Cup, and then exciting to have Clyde, quite a famous obviously club in Scottish football, for your first ever, the historic first sort of ever league game in the SPFL. And we've started the season pretty well and all, so it's just that the whole feeling about the club now is great. You can see the players are bouncing in, the supporters. We had a good crowd again yesterday, over 600 at the game, which for Spartans, that's a really good crowd. So everybody's sort of really rolling with it and really enjoying the experience.
What's the realistic expectations? I know, because I say realistic, because obviously, you know, there'll be some who'll say, right, we're going to aim for as high as we can, but realistically, what would be the ideal expectation for you?
I think knowing the manager, I know I'm in the chairman, they'll publicly say that as long as there's improvement, everything at the club, be it, the football club, the foundation, everything's about constantly trying to get better and do more. So they'll say that as long as we see improvement, and Dougie's got a saying about lifting the jersey to new heights. So he'll be looking at sort of creating history in terms of on the way. Everything's historical this season. Can we get a first win against this team? Can we finish as high as we can? But from a supporter's point of view, and it's always different as a supporter, we've done so well in the League Cup. I think last year Albion Rovers finished bottom, but they had maybe the highest points total. Any team that ever finished bottom. It was so tight, and there's maybe 5 points between them being bottom and actually getting a playoff place. So for a supporter's point of view, you've got a dream. And I know the guys at Spartans are not going to go in there and sit there to just say, you know, go back down. They're going to try and finish as high up as they can. And when you see the games that we've played so far have all been so tight, everybody's going to be everybody, I think. And we are coming in ignorant. There's no getting away from that. We're coming in ignorant to the qualities of our teams, but I think at Ainslie Park, especially on our pitch, if we can play a wee bit of football, we've got good footballers in the team, I think we can maybe surprise folk and finish a wee bit higher than maybe others might think that we will. We're probably favourites, I've not looked, we're probably favourites of the bookies to go back down, but certainly from a supporter's point of view, that we wouldn't be thinking that. We want to be sort of pushing up as high as we can.
I maybe wouldn't be paying too much attention to the bookies, because the bookies had East Fife is one of the favourites to win it. Again, it's only three games, but they've been horrendous so far. Do you look at what Bonnie Rigg did last season in terms of they got off to a really good start to the season? I think they won three out of their first five, then sort of fell away a little bit, and then obviously they sort of picked up again towards the end of the season. Is that sort of... you know, obviously levelling out a little bit. You know, you've got the highs of, you know, everything sort of new and the expectations, but would you expect a little bit of a hitting a wall at some point?
I wouldn't necessarily say looking at Bonnerig again, but we're quite ignorant. Last year, we were just looking towards our next game in the Lowland League and trying to win that. You know, and that was so competitive. That you're just again looking forward to the next game. Can we find a way to win that game and get the points on the board? So there's no doubt. Listen, there's no doubt. There's going to be a tough patch of the season. Every club and every league has that. And it's about the. I think the good thing about again, from a fan's point of view, we're ignorant to the level of League Two supporters, right? But last year when we won the league, we won it by playing different ways. So we could be ugly, horribly ugly, and if we needed just to win one out, we've done it. We found a way. We had guys that would pop up with a match-winning goal, and not just the strikers, but one of our fullbacks, Mikey Allen, chipped in, I think he must have 10 or 11 goals last year, but, and each of them, I think, was a match-winner. You know what I mean? So we found ugly ways to win games, but there's other games where we were brilliant to watch. Pace, power, flair, like, it was superb to watch, and then you'd rattle up a few goals. So we'll have a tough time, but I think the squad's got enough in them. There's enough dig in the team that they'll find ways to compete. That's what I'm not going to say they're going to win every game, but I certainly think they'll compete in every game, just with the type of player that's in the squad, eh? And they're not shy about getting their sort of sleeves rolled up and getting wired in. So, as a fan, you always want to see your team doing that. So, there'll be a sticky patch, but I think the guys have gotten them to at least compete for most of the season.
You mentioned the start, two draws and a win on Saturday against Elgin, which not to belittle the achievement too much, but I think a lot of sides will be beating Elgin this season. But 1-1 against Clyde, as you mentioned, and 1-1 also against Dumbarton, one of the favourite sides as well. So you mentioned that how well the results are going, but in terms of how well you're playing as well, are you finding that the levels are a little bit better and the players are rising to that task?
Aye, I mean, the standard's definitely higher. You mentioned the Clyde game. I think for the first half out of the Clyde game, everybody, including the support, was sort of playing the occasion. It was obviously for us historical, it was the first of our league game, and it was a bit about it in terms of around the club. And for the first half hour, couldn't quite get going, but we got the point in the end. And I think anybody, when you read the papers after the game, Spartans probably edged it. A draw might have been a fair result, but when you look at the chances created and who's on the front foot for the sort of, particularly in the second half, then we've probably edged it. Dumbarton are a team that kind of right up there again. When people speak with the league, they speak with them, and we've managed to go there and get a point. And I know what you're saying about the game the other day, but you can only sort of beat what's in front of you. And as a supporter, the only challenge, or the only frustration, I suppose, is that we didn't score more goals because we played really well. And I'm not going to belittle any team in the league, you know what I mean? Because we didn't, again, I don't know enough about them, and I've got that respect for them, but we generally played really well as well. The energy for the midfield team were terrific, the energy and the creativity, and probably the only thing was, one of their supporters said to me after the game when he was out, he said, we're lucky that wasn't an absolute horse in the day. So, you know what I mean? So, and I didn't know about them. That might be the case for them all season, but we're just delighted because, again, it was historic. It was the first win that we had in the SPFL. So these things, as you touched on, they're all new for us, and it's stuff that we're going to enjoy. That's the first win ticked off, and we're sitting there on 5 points, and we're delighted with that.
Players that we should be watching out for, I know you've got players like Blair Henderson. Is there anybody else that we should be sort of watching out for?
I'm hoping that we didn't know much as supporters. I'm sure Dougie and the guys know a lot about you guys and other teams in the league. We didn't know loads, so I didn't know what to get in a way too much. But what we'll say is we've got so that's me doing a wee bit like not giving away squad details and that. But what I will say, there'll be players that you'll know anyway. James Craigan played at a higher level, and you just watch his composure on the ball, he's two-footed, just his rotational movement, and that's superb. And he's talking to some of the younger guys through the game. Again, guys that have maybe played in the league, you'll maybe know Jordan Tappan. You know what I mean? This league's probably tailor made for him. He just doesn't muck about. You know what I mean? He's going to hit anything that moves, and they're going to be lucky to get back up if he does hit them, if they move. So I don't know what say too much and give too much away, but you know about Blair Henderson, you know about Tappan, you know about James Craig, and these are good signings, and they're good people as well. They really buy into it and they're really engaging with the support. There's a wee young group of supporters then out at the club that are making a racket every week, and after every game the players are over to them and all that. So there is the team's fully good. They're good players, we believe, but we also know that they're good people, and that's something that's really important to Dougie and the guys, that they sign good people away. And to get an idea, right, James Craigans came in obviously to do the business on the park for us, but he used to volunteer at the Spartans Foundation years ago, so he used to come in during the week and take the street football pitch out and all that, and he sort of moved to St Poulton and played the local kids and all that. And that was before he was even at Spartan. So that's a guy that just really buys into the whole philosophy of Spartans as a club. So we're delighted that we've got guys like that kind of wearing the badge and representing us on the park.
On to set of this game then, we've obviously played each other earlier on in the League Cup. Do you read too much into that, or do you expect it to be a different affair altogether?
I wouldn't read too much into that. I know Doogie had changed the team about and all that as well. It was an extended pre-season. So, again, in my ignorance, I couldn't tell you what a regular starting 11 for you guys would be. It's a one-off game in the League Cup. It's getting minutes into bodies, or some guys left behind because they've had mere minutes, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'd imagine for both teams that was probably the case. So it's a completely new match, one where I'm sure the players are up for, because there is that confidence and the supporters, there's a wee bit of confidence given the start that we've had, but it'll be a tough game. Every game, from what I've seen, and I go back to the Albion Rovers playoff game and sort of at that level and the games we've played so far, it's going to be hard, and everybody, I think, will beat everybody, because everybody's got a player that can score, or can everybody's got that one moment in a game that can just change it, whether it's a mistake as well, can misjudging a header or whatever, you see that, or the ball rolling under somebody's leg and then somebody's suddenly in. So these wee moments will be important, I think, in the season. But I know the guys are, in terms of the players, are riding a wee crest of the wave right now in terms of confidence and enjoying it. And we've got good players that aren't getting in the team right now, which can say it all. So, guys, again, we league experience. Gavin Morrison's a terrific player. Absolute terrific player, the way he passes the ball and gets stuck in. But his passing range and that, and he's kind of getting the team right now, given the energy levels and the performances the guys are in. So, everybody's choking to get a game. So, they've got to be at it, and hopefully they'll be at it, obviously, for Spartans, but hopefully we'll be at it on Saturday, and we can hopefully take some sort of result again.
What would be a good result for you? I know you'd like to win, but you know, again, we're talking about realistic results and things like that. What would you take for this game on Saturday?
I'm one of these guys, honestly, that I want to go, and even as a supporter, I want to see my team go and try to win every game. And given, I suppose we said you didn't read too much into the previous one, but we've proven that we can travel and win. So I'd like to see us win. That's the reality. But these are a good team. So do you take a point? You probably do. You're going away for him. You know what I mean? You probably take a point. So you want to take something. You would be disappointed. We want to, as a fan base and as a club, you want to try and pick up points in every game. And I'm sure that I've obviously no idea what plan Doogie and I'll have for the game. But they'll go up with a plan to get points. You know what I mean? And if it's 3 points or 1 point, you can bring that back down the road, then you're delighted with that, I suppose. Eh?
What's your score prediction going to be then, if I'm going to put a gun to your head?
1-0 Spartans. I'll go 1-0, and Blair will score a wonder goal for 2 yards and get him up and running in the league. He's Bekendo, he was on fire in the League Cup. I think he's been a wee bit frustrated in front of goal. He's had some good shots, it just no went in the league so far. And you need that as a striker, just a wee 2 yard tapping and maybe get you up and running. So I'll go 1-0 with Bekendo, getting off the mark for the league campaign. That's what I'm hoping for anyway.
Well, Kenny, thanks very much for coming on and your time. Appreciate and hopefully we're in for a decent game. And I'd like to see, obviously, Spartans. I'm not just saying this because you're on, but I'd like to see Spartans doing well, and because it's always good to see new sides coming up through the leagues, and we're never sort of seen the same dross. But appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on.
No, thanks for having me. All the best.
So that is it for this week. I do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Kenny Cameron for joining me to discuss the Spartans game, and of course to Martin Smith for being here as always. A big thank you to everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in. We appreciate it. Martin and I will be back again next week. So until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.